Each Sunday, each morning, each day of the week, I'm feeling more and more curious, more hungry, and desperate to have a greater relationship with the Holy Spirit. Anyone else feeling the same? Awesome. So before we get into it today, we need to answer this question: who is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is the relatable and reachable Spirit of God. He is the helper, the comforter, the counselor, and the source of resurrection power that is within the sons and daughters of God. And when the Holy Spirit is present, anything is possible. And that miracle-working Holy Spirit actually wants to lead you throughout the adventurous journey of your life. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. He is not a wind. He is not a fire. And he is not a dove. He is often symbolized by these things, but we do not minimize him to just these things. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, but not because he is lesser, but because he was the third to be revealed to us through the pages of Scripture. The Holy Spirit is fully divine. He is the Spirit above every other spirit because he is the Spirit of God, which means all of the power and all of the glory and all of the authority of God is in the Holy Spirit. And this means if you are a believer and the Holy Spirit lives within you, then all of the power, all of the glory, and all of the authority of God dwells within you. And if you don't have a relationship with God and yet your heart, you haven't asked Holy Spirit to live inside of you, then I want you to know today that more than anything else, that God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. So much so that he would pay such a great price for you to experience this indwelling. Amen? So today, let's talk about this. Why do we desperately need to be led by the Holy Spirit? And what evidence is there that we are living a Spirit-led life? Well, the first thing today is this: because the Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Somebody say power. The Holy Spirit empowers us. One of my favorite scriptures, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it should be up on the screens. It says this: but you will receive power. I like the other version that says shall. I don't know. I just feel like these older words, these more traditional words, just have a little bit more grit in them. But you shall, Jesus says this, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in Mackay, in Serena, in Moranbah, in Hobart. I don't know why I said Hobart, but that came to my mind. In your workplace, in your school, you'll be witnesses to me and to the very ends of the earth. What has he given us power for? Why? Why has he given us power? Anybody?
We need it.
We do need it. Yeah, why do we need it? To be witnesses. To be witnesses. Here's what I like about God. I like that he doesn't give out impossible missions. Although some missions he gives us might seem impossible in our own strength, he doesn't give out impossible missions because with God, all things are possible. And he is, I love this about God, he has given you a mission to be a witness, to make disciples, to undo the works of Satan, to drive out darkness, to advance the kingdom of God, and to love humanity back to life. But he doesn't ask you to do it in your own strength. Anybody thankful for that this morning? He wants to put some power tools in your toolbox. Turn to your neighbor and say, check your toolbox. Check your toolbox. He wants to give you some power tools so that you can be a weapon of mass destruction to the kingdom of darkness, and so that you could be a weapon of mass construction to the kingdom of God. He wants to put some tools in your toolbox. What are these power tools? I see two examples in scripture of types of power tools that the Holy Spirit puts in our toolbox. The first set of tools are the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. Pastor Rob's been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and it's firing me up. The second type of tools he puts in your toolbox are the fruits of the Spirit. Pastor Rob mentioned the 9 powerful gifts of the Spirit, such as the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, the gift of faith, the working of miracles, the gift of healing, gifts of prophecy and gifts of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. If you are walking in a relationship with the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to lead your life, my friends, you have access to these power tools. But here's the trick to use them. They can only be switched on by activating the switch of faith. And they must only be used within the guardrails of love. And that is where the fruits of the Spirit come in. And using these power tools, my gosh, if you knew how to use these power tools, it should be a prayer of every believer when they go to work in the morning to say, Holy Spirit, teach me to use the gifts that you have given me. Freely I've received, but I want to freely give. Teach me to use these power tools that you have given me. They are activated by faith, but must be used within the guardrails of love. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got some mighty power tools. You got some mighty power tools. Who here today wants to learn how to use those power tools a little bit more effectively? Let me encourage you. Lean in and do everything you can to pursue a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's almost unavoidable. I want to make something clear this morning. The Holy Spirit will equip you with tools, but He is not a tool. I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit is not a tool. The Holy Spirit must not be used. He is not a tool to get what you want. He is not an addition to your life. He is life itself. If you want to learn to pray, He will make intercession through you. If you want to learn to worship, He will glorify the risen Christ within you. If you want faith, if you need faith, He will give you a gift of faith. I can't even see because my eyes are so bubbly right now. If you need hope, He will reveal Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. If you need victory, He will reveal the victorious Son. But He is not a tool in which you can use. He is not an addition to your life. He is life itself. As we were worshiping this morning, well, Peely said something as before he goes into the next song, and he said, Lord, we will follow you no matter the cost. And I questioned my heart and I said, would you really follow no matter the cost? Would you really follow if it costs you everything, everything, everything? And I said to Jesus, Jesus, help me to follow you no matter the cost. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, even if you were to lose everything, you would gain so much more because I would become your everything and you would then lose nothing. He wants to be your everything. You can have a tangible and personal relationship with Holy Spirit. He wants to walk with you. He wants to lead you. He wants to stand beside you. And the prayer of my heart after Holy Spirit said that is, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Even if it costs me everything, Lord, I want you to become my everything. And if he doesn't leave me, then I can lose nothing. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Here's what I struggled with in this scripture about receiving power when the Holy Spirit comes. Just get that scripture back up for us once more, please. This is what I struggle with in this scripture. It's not my power, it's his. So I just can't do whatever the heck I want with it. If we do whatever we want with the gifts of the Spirit or the power of God, then that's called manipulation to get what I want, not for his will, but for my own. And the Bible calls manipulation, that kind of manipulation, witchcraft. That's why Jesus said, if you ask anything according to my Father's will, I'll give it to you. The goal of walking in the presence of God is to crucify my own selfish desires so that the Spirit of God would flow in and through me, not just for my own selfish ambitions, but for the sake of others, for the sake of his kingdom and glory. And I can tell you, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will add everything else that you need to you. Here's what confuses me in this scripture. It confuses me when people only use the Holy Spirit for their own selfish ambition instead of using it to be a witness to others. It confuses me when people are satisfied and content with receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and they're satisfied with such a life and they keep it to themselves to give them goosebumps and warmth when they're going through a hard day, but they never use it to be a witness. John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus stood up and cried out, this should be on the screens, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will be a pond of muddy water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him would receive, for yet the Spirit had not been given, but Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. Do you see something wrong in that passage I just read out? Out of his heart will not be a pond of muddy water, no, but will flow rivers of what? Living water. Rivers, 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 not ponds. A pond gets stinky and stagnant, muddy and moldy, but a river flows afresh each day, letting fresh water go and receiving water from the source. It flows downstream, giving life to the plants that grow around it. It confuses me when we only use the Holy Spirit for our own selfish ambitions instead of using it to be a witness, to love and serve others and bring life to those around us. I get confused when people use the Holy Spirit to show off their prophetic gift. And they always want an opportunity to speak or an opportunity to share, an opportunity to pray. And they use the Holy Spirit to show off their prophetic gift, but they would never join a team and learn to serve God in the house of God. Oh, it confuses me. I get confused when I hear about people who like to show off their power to interpret scripture and explain the scriptures to others, but they don't have the power to help their spouse clean up the kitchen after dinner. I will, Pastor Denise. Pastor Rob's a good man. She's just clarifying. She's clarifying to the other men, she said. Oh, Jesus, help us. I get confused when I see people show off their power to discern spirits or receive words of knowledge, but only really use it to judge and gossip about people. Instead of using that power to pray for someone in need and remind them of their God-given identity. Let me tell you, talking about somebody to a friend and saying, oh, I felt Holy Spirit really reveal they have an addiction in their life, or they've been having marriage problems, and yeah, it's been really sad to see them go downhill lately. That is not what the Spirit gave you that gift for. He gave you that gift to pray for that person, to stand alongside them, remind them of their identity in Christ, and build them up in the Lord. The Holy Spirit does care about your personal needs, He does want to help you and guide you through everyday moments of life, but he has given you power for a reason. Not so that you would be a selfish pond or a muddy puddle, but a fresh flowing river that brings life to those around us. We can use the power of the Holy Spirit for our own selfish ambitions, or we can use it, the power of the Holy Spirit, to flow like a river, to love, to encourage, to serve, to build up those around us. And to reveal to the people in our life the reality of God. Here's what's challenging me. Holy Spirit wants to fill us with power. Are we full of the Holy Spirit, or are we too? I'll say it again. Are we full of the Holy Spirit, or are we too full of ourselves? Are we full of the Holy Spirit, or are we too full of ourselves? Here's what else is challenging me. Am I using the power of the Holy Spirit to pour into others, or am I content at keeping it within and only pouring it out on myself? All right, let's go to the next one. Evidence of a Spirit-led life. Holy Spirit leads us into truth and reminds us of our identity. John chapter 16 says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Romans chapter 8 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, or the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies within our spirit that we are children of God. Now, if we are children, then we are also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we might also share in his glory. The Holy Spirit reminds me when I'm going through a hard time, when I'm feeling the stresses and the struggles of life surround me, it's the Holy Spirit that reminds me if I'm gonna share in his suffering, I'm also gonna share in his glory. It's the Holy Spirit who reminds me that Cain, pick your head up. You are not a victim. You are not a victim. You are not a victim. You are victorious in Christ. For he has conquered, he has overcome every temptation, every struggle known to mankind, and he has walked in victory. And if you're seated in him, you are a victor. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. It's the Holy Spirit who reminds us this. There are some days when I forget who God says I am. There are some days where I listen to the voice of critics more than the voice of my Creator. There are some days where fear tries to creep back into my heart. Some days anxiety, loneliness, lust, or bitterness will try and creep its way back into my heart and mind again. And I know that when that happens, I need the Holy Spirit. Some days the enemy wants to remind you of how weak you were, how sinful you were, or how miserable your life is on your own. But the Holy Spirit wants to rise up within you and remind you the truth that is found in Scripture that says you are not on your own anymore. That you're a child of the Most High God, and that greater is the Spirit that lives in you than any other spirit that is in the world. And the last one I want to talk about today is that Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and leads us into holiness. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and leads us into holiness. Some people think the Holy Spirit comes when we're completely cleaned up and pure, but the Holy Spirit comes in to make us pure. We need him in the process. Some people think they are disqualified from receiving the Holy Spirit because of their sin. Some people feel like they don't deserve the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? None of us do. Some people are too afraid to ask for the Holy Spirit because they're afraid to ask for his help because they know of how much of a mess they're in. But to think that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us only when we're cleaned up is crazy. That would be like a university professor saying to his class, now when you pass, or now that you Let me get this right. It would be like a university professor saying to his class, "Now, when you pass all of your exams, then I'll start teaching you." They'll say, "But professor, we need you to teach us in order for us to pass our exams. And we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us to make us holy. You can't be holy without the Spirit of holiness." This is what theologians call sanctification. There's a quote here by Jerry Bridges. It says, "Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit in us, whereby our inner being is progressively being changed, freeing us more and more from sinful traits and developing within us over the time virtues of Christ-like character." It's the Holy Spirit that transforms us. If you're not happy with the person that you are today and you want to see change, do everything you can to learn how to walk in relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you will be changed. You will be changed. And we'll close with this morning. We can't try our way out of a sinful nature. I've tried. You probably have too. And I found constantly, every time I'd strive to try and please God on my own or try and get myself free from sin in my own strength, it was like going one step forward and two steps back. We can't do it in our own strength. You can't try your way out of a sinful nature. We can walk our way in step with the Holy Spirit. And each step with the Holy Spirit, sin becomes less and less desirable. Just like I shared earlier, when Holy Spirit becomes your everything, He will fulfill every desire and satisfy your heart and your soul. And you will no longer have room for sin because you'll be full, your appetite will be full on the Spirit. What does the Bible say? "Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled by the Spirit, because the Spirit satisfies the desire." Let the Holy Spirit satisfy your desires. The goal isn't to focus on stopping sin, because that just steers you in the direction towards where your attention is focused on sin. You know, when you're driving a car, you see something on the side of the road and you start to look. And if you focus a little too hard, you start to steer in the direction on where your attention was. If your focus is on trying to stop sinning, you're only steering yourself into the direction of sin. Instead, focus on Jesus. Allow Holy Spirit to lead you to focus on Jesus. And as you walk in step, you start to steer into the direction of the image of God. And if you follow Jesus, you start to realize that you stop sinning because Jesus isn't sinning. So as long as you're following Jesus, you're not following sin, you're not walking in sin. The times when I have found myself stumbling into sin has been when I've taken my awareness from the presence of God that is with me, and I've been succumbed by the situations and the storms of life, and I start to sink. But very quickly, I can switch my awareness back to the Holy Spirit, and He picks me up off those waves. If you look to Jesus and follow Him and keep Him as the center point of your everyday, it's very easy to be free from sin when it's the Holy Spirit making you holy. It's very hard when you're trying to do it in your own strength. You receive holiness by the blood of Jesus, but you maintain holiness by walking in relationship with the Holy Spirit. By Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, His blood washes us clean and makes us holy. But the only way you'll continue in that holiness is by walking and being led by the Holy Spirit. Let me close our eyes in this place this morning. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we turn our awareness and our attention over to You today. We love You. We love you, we love you, we love you. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you're here this morning and you haven't made a decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, and you want to make a decision today to follow Jesus and be led by His Spirit, just with every eye closed, I just want to see you. If that's you, would you quickly pop your hand up so I could see it? If you want to make Jesus your Lord, yep, I see that hand. Yep, thank you. You can put it down. Anyone else? Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. All right. Let's pray this prayer together today. Why don't you stand to your feet with me? I really sense the Holy Spirit in this room this morning. Can we pray a prayer together? Let's do this. From your heart, I want you to say this out loud. Jesus, I want to follow you, but I know it's not going to be easy. I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need your power. Lord, today I'm sorry for any time I've walked away from you. I ask for forgiveness for my sin. Wash me with your blood and make me holy. Fill me with your Spirit and strengthen me. Holy Spirit, I want to be led by you. I pray that you would become my everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. This morning, I wanted to pray for a specific type of people. During worship, I felt the Lord say, I want to strengthen my hungry ones this morning. I want to strengthen my hungry ones this morning. So we're going to worship, and I want to invite you, if you're here this morning and you have just been so desperate for a touch from the Holy Spirit, and you're hungry to encounter Him afresh, you're hungry to know Him and walk in relationship with Him, I want to invite you to quickly come and fill the altar. We'd love to pray for you today for a fresh touch and an infilling of the Holy Spirit. I believe God wants to strengthen you. If you've been feeling weak in your spirit and you need the Lord to revive and strengthen and bring life and healing, I want you to quickly come and fill the altar this morning. We want to pray for you. There is an anointing in this room that is not because of a man and it's not because of a woman. It's because the Holy Spirit is here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everyone else, lift your hands. Let's worship Him. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, tell Him how hungry you are. Tell Him how desperate you are. Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Pastor Kane, have you got anything further you need to add? No? You're done. Did a good job. Yeah, Pastor Kane's happy to stay here and pray. If you feel you want to come, come. Let him lay hands on you. Amen, amen. Well, this day isn't over. We may finish this morning, but this afternoon we're going to pray together. We had a great prayer meeting last Sunday. And then tonight, the worship encounter, something powerful is going to happen. I really want you to be part of that. You've got to understand my heart as a pastor. I'm grateful for every person that comes to this church, but I want God above all things. I want Him to be the attraction. So I want your hearts to be touched by His presence, not only in our worship services, but the other times we meet, like in prayer or a worship encounter. So over to you. I'm going to bless you this morning. You ready? You ready? Father, I speak blessing over every person here. I speak the blessing of your wonderful presence. I speak the blessing of your purpose. I speak the blessing of your intent. I speak the blessing, God, of your grace. And I release these people, Father, with the blessing overflowing in their lives, that they, encountering others, might touch them with that blessing that's overflowing from their lives. That people will know there's a living God who blesses and loves. So this morning, Lord, by your grace, I release everyone here to the fullness of